Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, first thing, I absolutely love the fans here. Genuinely, they are they're seriously so unique. They're one of a kind. It's like everyone is just such a diehard Islander fan. I love it. We feel the support, and I've felt the support the last 6 years. And I think if it was different, maybe my mindset would have been different through these negotiations. But seriously, like they've given me so much love and support, and that plays a huge part in it. So I can definitely say that the fans being so supportive and whatnot have really wanted me to stay here and win for them.
Hello and welcome to Islanders Anxiety from the Lighthouse Hockey Podcast Network. My name is Dan Saracini. Joining me, as always, is my friend Michael Leboff. And as you all heard off the top of the show, we've got some big news to talk about. It's Matt Barzal. And he signed an 8-year contract extension with the team this morning, completely derailing our plan. No, I'm just kidding. He didn't totally derail our plan for to look around the NHL. We're going to do that in the second half, but the first half we're going to talk about Barzal's contract. And I know you and I are of the same mind here, Mike, in that this is good, basically, is where we came out on this.
Yeah, this is a great day to be an Islander. I think, you know, last time we spoke, we were talking about his interview tour with 32 Thoughts and just generally when he would pop up in the media, like when training camp opened, it all sounded positive. Like he sounded like a player who was getting towards the finish line of a deal like this. But let's be honest, like for you and me and everyone listening to the show, we've been hurt before. So, mm-hmm. So in a weird way, because in that episode that we were talking about how, because of, just how good Barzal is and you and I and a lot of Islander fans, like we do tend to really gravitate towards folk heroes and cult heroes and, not the star guys, because they're easy, you know, like everyone loves Matt Barzal around the league. But I think part of that, you know, dawned on me today when I was walking Elvis after the deal was announced, was that I think part of the reason maybe we do or have, I don't want to say taken for granted, because we don't take it for granted at all, but like maybe not giving him the respect or shine that he's due is because we've been hurt before. And like, you don't want to fly too close to someone like that, because the last time we did, he walked down on us. So a lot of those kind of complicated fan emotions felt lifted. You know, you almost feel vindicated that a star player chose to re-sign here in the post-Tavares era, and it happened to be the one that, you know, didn't tap his stick when Tavares came back. And you know, he's probably the coolest Islander we've had since, I don't know, Ziggy Palfy, Kim Miller, depending on your definition of cool. But it just feels really good. It's a good day to be an Islander. And like, I just want to, you know, those big like Hallmark cards, like cartoonishly big,
yeah,
like the size of a person. Right. I just want to get one of those and drop it off at UBS Arena with, you know, a bunch of Islander fans' signatures and say, like, you know, thanks, thank you, and congratulations on your new deal, Matt, and teddy bears and stuff. But I think the best part of this whole thing was the way that the guy who left, like every time he spoke to the media, it was so canned. And yeah. I kind of joked last time that he might as well just have his publicist answer the questions. Whereas this guy, like, he didn't go in. He like was always, it's not off the cuff because you can't do that. Lou will take you out back. But like, it was, as you know, you can't color outside the lines on a Lou Lamoriello team, but it's as close as you can get. And like, you can tell, like, he yeah. understands, like, the word unique, I think, is the right word to describe Islander fans and the fan base and the franchise. And he gets why, you know, we might not be the biggest fan base and this might not be the most prestigious hockey team to play for at the end of the day. But he wouldn't trade it for the world because he knows how well he's going to be treated here, how great it is to live here. And so just the fact that, you know, we'll talk like about the kind of reaction to the deal too, but just like the fact that you can almost feel the weight of the world kind of get lifted off of Islander fans' shoulders. And
oh yeah.
This has been like the first good day for this team in 11 months, maybe. So yeah. it's great. It's just, I'm so happy. We love this guy and he loves us back, yeah. which is not the case with the last time was Lamoriello said like loyalty is a two-way street. The last time something kind of like this was going on, it was a very one-way street.
Yeah. Oh no, definitely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, when did Adam Pellick sign? That would have been the last
good day. Yeah, Pellick and Pullock, like they signed.
Yeah.
Pretty like days after each other or whatever. And but yeah, like, I mean, you think of like Pellick and like Anders Lee and
right.
Nelson, even like Eberle when he re-upped, and you know, those guys I think you can say are just like a tier below.
Yeah.
Barzal. And now that even like the Dobson deal, but you know, that those circumstances were that we kind of knew he was signed.
Yeah.
And but like this one, like, it just really, it felt like Islander fans, I think, you know, we like to tell people that, you know, to flip the double middles at everyone as maybe more than any franchise. And we got to do it today.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I agree with all of that. They, you know, Barzal, we talked about on the last episode, he gets it, and his whole media availability today, particularly the part that you heard at the beginning, just reinforced that. Like, the guy just gets it. And you know, I always look at Islanders fans sort of like fans of the band Rush. Like, there are no casuals. You're either a diehard, you're into it, you know every song, every lyric, you own every album, you're singing along, and you defend them with your life, or you're just not into it and it's just not your thing. And he said that today. They're all diehards. Those were his words exactly. And so he gets it. You know, he goes to the bagel shop, he goes to the delis, he hears people talking. I'm sure you heard a lot of like, oh, you're gonna leave like Tavares, and he's like, no, he wants to stay here. And I tweeted a bunch of stuff before, and one of them was a preemptive FU to Vancouver and Seattle, because your guy is ours now. Like, he's a Long Islander, he's no longer from Vancouver. He's no longer a Seattle Thunderbird. He's a Long Islander now, and he signed this deal. Now, this deal, so it's an 8-year deal worth, I believe, $74 million total. Works out to $9.1 million per year. And it
the cap hit is great.
Yeah. I mean, I get what everybody's saying. It's 9.1, 9.1. Yeah, okay. But we'll see what happens. But kicks in next year. So he's still at 7. This is the current deal right now. The end of this year, it'll kick up to 9.1. and 9.150 actually. So, and you know, it's funny because when it came in and I got a text saying what the number was, I was almost like, damn, that's low. Like, it was not low, but like, that's way lower than I know I was expecting. And I think probably what a lot of other people are expecting too. We were thinking more in, you know, double digits or something. Now, you know, whether or not Barzell deserves that, we'll get to all that stuff in a second. But like, I was shocked. It's almost like with the Pelech thing. Like, he got what? Like, he probably could have gotten a lot more if they wanted to squeeze Lou for a certain amount and that. But I guess, you know, he wanted it to be fair. He wasn't going to play here for free. Hometown discounts don't really exist unless you're, you know, 37 years old. I think this is a great deal. And now, you know, most Islanders fans who I've read and seen are happy. Again, the weight is lifted is a perfect way to put it, too, because for us, for him, for the team, it's all of that. It's definitely a weight is lifted off. There has been quite a bit of, you know, complaints from outside. Oh, he's only gotten this much, you know, this many points, and he doesn't score as much as he should. And, you know, he was being kept down. He's got this, that, and the other thing. I'm here to tell you, that's all BS because this guy means more to this team than just those points. If you saw him on that media tour that Mike mentioned before, he was a gold mine. He's handsome. He's personable. He loves being here. He loves talking about the Islanders. He's a great representative of the team. And it's a lot like Anders Lee when he signed his contract. You know, people made a big deal about how high it was and, you know, $7 million for this guy. He only just scores goals in front of the net. Yeah, but look at what Anders Lee does for this team, the way he speaks for this team, the charity stuff he does, the way he leads this team. Like, you can't, I say you can't put a price tag on it, but like, that stuff all is very meaningful. And I don't take that stuff lightly. I mean that. And a lot of people might roll their eyes and be like, oh, that's kind of stupid. But like, they'll never understand what Barzell means to us. And like, people will never understand what Anders Lee means to us, or what, you know, believe it or not, they didn't understand what John Tavares meant to us too when he left. And we kept hearing about how great it was that he went back. And it's like, well, not for us, you know, but this is a great day. And I think that, you know, you could quibble and nitpick his game. Oh, another thing I find funny too is like, people always say, well, you can't pay a free agent for past performance. But then when they say, oh, we're signing him based on, you know, what we think his ceiling is, they go, well, you can't do that either. Well, then what is it? How are you supposed to sign? How are you supposed to evaluate these people? How are you supposed to sign them based on what, height? Like,
your chart. It's only about the chart.
Yeah. Rock, paper, scissors. Like, I don't understand. If you can't pay, I get you don't want to pay them for what they've done in the past because they might not do it again. I get that. You don't want to overpay somebody for what they might not, but like, you got to pay them based on something. Like, I got to understand. So this to me is a totally fair deal. It's less than I thought it was going to be. He's getting paid what he should. The Islanders are getting what they need. And I mean, I don't know. Again, to me, any complaint is just nitpicking. And mm-hmm. And we'll see how it works out this year. Hopefully he gets back to his, you know, 80-point form. But even still, like, this guy just means so much to the team that they couldn't let him walk away, and they got him for a great price. So there you go.
Yeah, I think that my first thought after he signed was just, you know, like, everyone, relief and excitement. And then the second one was, oh, I can't wait for the reaction, because you just knew exactly, you know, like, it's like anything right. else with this team. You just know exactly what's coming. You yeah. you do. Like, it, and it, and everyone played the hits. It was like Mick Jagger over and over and over again playing Satisfaction. And there were like a couple people who would like pipe up and be like, yeah, well, you know, they needed to overpay. This isn't the type of team that, you know, Artemi Panarin's going to pick to play for, or Kevin Fiala or Philip Deneau. Like, they need to, like, they're not a destination yet. So while those bigger market teams have certain advantages just from their prestige and pockets and stuff, the Islanders don't. So kind of like what the Blue Jackets did with like Zach Werenski last summer, and everyone's like, wow, I can't believe Zach Werenski got that deal. And like, yeah, but the Blue Jackets need to do it, because look how big of a deal it was when Johnny Gaudreau came. What did everyone say? Like, great for Columbus that a free agent chose to sign there, because that would be the reaction if the Islanders got someone like that. So, yeah, I think that a lot of people who from the outside who kind of piped up and made their opinions known kind of told on themselves with, like, they don't understand just how this, I mean, we already knew that, that like no, they don't understand how this kind of franchise works and the fan base works and how we view things. And I was just really happy with the way Islander fans viewed it, because we all know like how it works. Like, and everyone's like, no, I don't really give a shit what, you know, anybody at the Athletic thinks, or anybody who's like a chart merchant showing, you know, reducing these players. You know, we're supposed to yell at the NHL for not letting these players' personality shine through, but at the same time, I've reduced them to these six numbers and this blob. yeah, we're supposed to, you know, those people, we have to wait on for those people to sling their charts before we're allowed to formulate our opinion and get out of here with that. We know, like, this is the Islanders' first line center. This is their best first line center they've had in a very long time. He's their most exciting player they've had. Again, you can go back to Ziggy Poffy or Kip Miller, whatever one you want to choose. Like this is a bona fide face of the franchise type player who you watch Matt Barzal 82 times a season. I watch Matt Barzal 82 times a season. We both know how good he is. Like, you watch him and you're like, wow, this guy just did something incredible. And sometimes people who are those, you know, slinging those charts will like be like, man, like you look at the eye test and it looks like he's a better player than the numbers show, like, because he is. Like, you're watching it, like, wow. We know what his numbers are, and like everyone, like we said on the last episode, everyone had a down year on this team last year. Everybody, this guy's been on the right side of six victory handshake lines for the New York Islanders. Like, the New York Islanders won six playoff series with this guy. The Islanders won one.
Yeah.
Between 1993 and 2018 or 19, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So I don't, like, wouldn't you rather have that guy who's got, we know has the potential to be a, you know, Jack Eichel type, or a you know, those even like a Gaudreau, I know he plays center, but like Gaudreau plays wing, but like that kind of playmaker who can, but he also has the other side of his game now, because he was like, yeah, you know what? I like winning more than putting up, because he knew at the end of the day what was going to happen. He's going to be very rich from playing hockey because he's that good. Yeah. So like, it didn't matter, I guess, if he was going to score, you know, back up a Calder Trophy win season with another 90 point season and then another 95 and whatever. Like, he knows how good he is, and he found a way to make his game work for a team that, against the odds, people forget that. Like, people treat the Islanders like they were some sort of, you know, bully going into those years. Like, the Islanders were the underdog, and they made it to the playoffs. They swept the Penguins. Then the next year, they went on the bubble run. And then the year after that, they went to the conference final again. Like, that was an underdog team that had, the heartbeat of that team was this guy who, rather than trying to put the team on his back every night, and some nights he did and he got in trouble for it, like, he played a complete game. And I'd rather have that guy and pay that guy than that top line center, or you know, even the Johnny Gaudreau type, who's, yeah, he's great, he's going to put up 100 points, but does he help you win the game, like, enough? Does he help you win enough to get through to the playoffs on his own? Like, no, I don't think so. Like, he's a great player, Johnny Gaudreau, but I'd rather have this guy who's shown that he can and is willing to put in the hard miles and do kind of the dirty work for a team that needs him to, and basically begged him to, because if he didn't, like, the Islanders wouldn't have worked. So yeah, I mean, there's so many people who are just going to look at the numbers, and they're going to come from this because every NHL media site is going to say, like, oh, who wants to write the Barzal piece?
Yeah.
Overpaid, underpaid, whatever. Yeah. Someone's going to raise their hand. They're going to write it, and it's all going to be the same. And you're going to read, like, oh, he had 52 points.
Islanders take huge risks signing Barzal to big deal. Like, that's it.
Don't they know they have all these guys signed to the salary cap? Yeah. No, I don't know. Maybe they didn't. I think that people act like Lou Lamoriello is just like walking around, like, he's got, yeah, like, hey guys, like, I'm going to sign Barzal like to this deal, and people are like, no, you can't. You're going to break break the salary cap. Like,
my favorite are the people like, well, now he's got to live up to the contract. Like, no shit, coach. Yeah. You think, like, he doesn't know that he's got to live up to this contract? You think they signed like, hey Matt, we want to give you $9.1 million. Oh, great, I'm going to go golfing. Thanks. You know, like, no, of course not. He knows he's got to live up to the contract.
I think because he's like a, you know, these flashy players automatically from the outside get painted. It happens in soccer a lot. Like they're just these kind of like they're not team guys. It goes back to like the enigmatic Russian kind of trope in the dead puck era. Like if you watch this guy, there's a soccer player who used to play for Everton. Now he plays for Tottenham. He reminds me of a little bit Richarlison, who like everyone always said that he from the outside didn't think like he tried hard, but then you watch him every night. This guy tries harder than everyone on the team. He's also their best player. Like when you have that combination of the guy who's working hard and is the best player, it's worth its weight in gold.
Yeah. And that's another great thing about Barzell's thing too, was that he specifically mentioned the guys in the room playing for Lou, playing at UBS, practicing at Northwell, like all of these things that are important to him and that he himself enjoys. Like he wouldn't have said these things if he didn't mean them. And, I think that he and Lou have become, I don't know if close is the word, but there's definitely a ton of respect there and they get it. And Lou, we were joking before, so Barzell's media thing is very energetic and he's, very genuine. And he's talking about his love for the island, the team, the fans and everything. And it's great. And then Lou's media availability, it opens with him saying, well, there is no face of the franchise. The logo is the face of the franchise. You know, it's like, yeah, we've heard that song before too, but like Barzell gets it. Like he wouldn't have stayed here if he didn't feel the same way. And so, none of these people that are going to write this stuff are going to get it. I mean, does that mean that there aren't flaws in his game and things that could be worked on? No, of course not. I mean, again, he knows what his point totals have been, but like, he knows better than anybody what his point totals have been the last couple of years. And sometimes he had a tendency to hold the puck a little bit too long. And I think, we could all agree that he needs like a trigger man or some kind of, partner or whatever, sidekick on the side to help him realize and get more points. But at the end of the day, I mean, he wants to find that person here. He wants to do that stuff here. And that's what really matters. And so, this is one thing that we don't have to worry about for the next 9 years, which is great. He kept talking about like, oh, I signed here eight years, almost like, oh, I can't wait for this 8 years to be like, no, it's not that at all. I mean, he was saying 3 years the last time. But if you really are looking for something to worry about, Ilya Sorokin's only has two more years left on his deal. So then we got to figure that out, but we'll get to that when we get to it. So, we also called out Anthony Beauvillier too in his thing too, which I thought was very nice as well. So, I could listen to that press conference all day. Like it was fun watching him talk and interact and, it was just a great day. It's just, put that up in the Islanders Hall of Fame at UBS Arena when it gets a chance, it's great. Great to see.
A podcast first. I gotta pause for a second because Elvis killed a possum outside.
Oh my God.
I'll be right back.
Well, that's definitely staying in, by the way, just so you know.
Yeah. No, it's totally fine. I figured it would.
I was saying before, like, we could pick apart his game and God knows the Islanders could use more scoring, but I think all told it's very hard to be very upset today as an Islanders fan.
I think what you said, the most kind of poignant part of that section was that he wants to do it here. He wants to find the solution here. Whereas the other guy wanted to find the solution elsewhere. It's going to be like one of those things where hopefully one of these YouTube whizzes puts together like the media availability of the two of them, like side by side and kind of, cause I know there was, I can't remember who did it from Lighthouse Hockey, like the kind of explainer. Here's the 6 minute YouTube guide to why Islander fans reacted the way they did when Tavares left. I can't remember who it was and I apologize. But like if you took that and then you put the happy one next to it, like you would just see the difference. Like what we wanted to John Tavares to be was that franchise focal point. We kind of thrust a personality onto him. Whereas this guy, like Barzell, just oozes it. He just oozes it. And he's kind of adopted. And I think I told this story on this podcast once. When I went to Montreal to watch the Islanders, I ended up sitting next to, for one period, because we were switching seats, and ended up sitting next to Matt Barzell's friend from home who was playing lacrosse at McGill University. And like we were talking and I was explaining to him like just how much we love him and why like he's such a good fit on Long Island and like the kind of attitude. And he's like, that's just how he's always been. He's just like this driven individual who has found like the perfect medium between cockiness and confidence. Like, where he's not offensive at all, but you can just tell he's very confident. And where And that, like, it feels like Long Island. Like, you can almost see him. I mean, the press conference he did today in the locker room, he was wearing, like, a black jacket or something with, like, slick black hair. And
his hentai hair.
Yeah, his hentai hair. Yeah. As Cal Clutterbuck calls it. Like, if you just close your eyes and, like, kind of, or like, fuzzed out the background and you put him, you know, at, like, Fairings Deli or something, like, on Long Island, you're like, no, this guy, he would fit. Like, he would fit on the line waiting for a chicken cutlet sandwich on Saturday afternoon at a deli. You know, I'm from the South Shore, so I'll say South Shore, Long Island, but anywhere on Long Island, like, you can just see it. Like, he's an adopted son of Long Island who's sticking around, and that is something we've been waiting for as a fan base for God knows how long. He is the total package, and I think, and this is all very positive, and we there are some flaws to his game, of course, but he's not a superstar. Like, he's not in that Connor McDavid tier. He's not even close to it. He's probably going in the middle of fantasy drafts this week. Like, he's not like I gotta get this guy, but he's like, would you be surprised if at the end of the year he's got like 87 points and just has a, you know, balls out for the year? No, of course not. He's the type of guy that, you know, this is very much a chip on the shoulder year for the Islanders, and he's the perfect guy to have a chip on his shoulder. So yeah, I mean, it's like you said, this is just, it's really hard to be upset about this. If you're going to be upset at anybody, like, you can be upset at people making the lazy kind of arguments. why this is, you know, an overpayment or whatever. And hopefully in 6 months time, you get to say what, you know, how's that looking now? I think it looks like a bargain.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is what a day, man. Like, I've always said he's someone who should be skating around with like a rose between his teeth. But today, like, I just, when he comes out on home opener in 9 days, maybe we'll just throw hats on the ice before, he deserves something.
Yeah. No, he's going to get a lot of applause when that home opener happens. And actually, it's funny you mentioned that real quick. I reminded that, my daughter and I and all my wife and our friends, we were at that game where he scored his first NHL hat trick against the Winnipeg Jets. So we'll always have that. That's why he's a favorite of ours. Let's pause here and we'll come back on the other side of the break and we will do our rest of the league episode, our annual that we started last year. We'll kind of shotgun through everything, a machine gun through everything. By the way, I think it was Spizwolf that did the video for Lighthouse Hockey, yes. By the way. No problem. And thanks to Spizwolf. And thanks to Noel for writing up the Barzell article today, in which he called him the kid who got paid. So there you go. That sums it up. Good work. All right. So we'll be back in a minute, and we're going to go through every other team in the league and talk some shit about them. All right. Come back then.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
And now a word from our sponsors. First, as always, VintageIceHockey.com, where you can get t-shirts, hoodies, and mugs featuring over 100 classic hockey logos. They also have jerseys, which are awesome. You should check those out for all kinds of really cool defunct teams. Vintage Ice Hockey also carries our Al Arbor t-shirt, and our portion of the sales go directly to the Center for Dementia Research. Use the code Long Island to save 10% off anything in the store. And listen to our next episode for a little announcement for something new coming to VintageIceHockey.com very, very shortly. Try wines from the Pinot Project. Delicious Pinot Noir, Pinot Grigio, and Rosé, all under $15 a bottle, available at your local wine shop and at UBS Arena. Please drink responsibly. Okay, so we did this last year for the first time, and we had a lot of fun, so we're going to do it again. We're just going to go through the other teams in the league and kind of give a little bit of, I don't know about a preview, but I guess our thoughts on how things are going to shake out. Please bear in mind that, you know, Mike looks at this from a betting perspective, what the lines are saying, what the bookmakers are saying, and, you know, they change all the time, and this is his life, and he's very good at it, and he looks at this stuff very in-depth, and I'm looking at it from the perspective of a guy saying, wait, he signed there? So, you know, hopefully somewhere in the middle, we can find a nice medium and we'll end up being right. So,
yeah. If I could plug something real quick, because sure. I did write a season preview for work at actionnetwork.com, which you can read. And it is different from, I try to make it different from other season previews, because if you're here on the show, I just don't want to retread what other people have and write the same article about why Matt Barzal's an overpayment that, you know, you can read at 6 other different places. So I look at it just, you know, based on kind of market perception and rank the teams from most overrated to most underrated. I think the Capitals are the most underrated team this year from a market perspective and sentiment perspective. And it's the biggest article I write every year. So any love for it, reading, clicking it, whatever is very much appreciated. And I hope you forgive me for plugging this.
No. I will put a link to it in the article so everybody can check it out. I think I may have also retweeted that. But yeah, check it out. I read it. It's really, really good. So you check it out again. It's a little bit different. So we're going to, again, we didn't realize we were going to talk about Matt Barzal today. So we've already cut into our time a little bit. So we're going to probably race through a bunch of these. But let's start over in the Pacific as usual. And I'm just going to lump the Sharks, Ducks, and Kraken kind of all together in a, yeah, better luck next year kind of group. you know, the Ducks got Ryan Strome and John Klingberg. So, you know, maybe they can make some noise, but I mean, Klingberg's only there for like a year. So if they're not in the playoff race by January, I think he's going to be earmarked for some other team. The Sharks are still looking for their next big thing, and the Kraken are still an expansion team. So I don't see anything to write home about any of these things. Am I missing something? Are these guys kind of
I just find it hilarious that last year at this time, there were a couple, I think we made fun of it on this traditional episode about how there were a lot of people who had the Kraken modeled as like the top five, top 10 team in the NHL. And then we forgot that that's not how the NHL works normally with expansion teams or something.
Right.
And then in the middle of the year when it was going to shit for Seattle, they all just said, well, how was I supposed to know that this team would have terrible goaltending? Like, you weren't, I guess, but you also weren't. You needed to know that this team probably wasn't good enough to survive terrible goaltending or even mediocre goaltending. And I like Oliver Bjorkstrand when he got traded from Columbus to Seattle for nothing because of the Gaudreau fallout. I was kind of ticked, but I think these teams are. I mean, the Sharks are weird. So I'm already like, I could tell the hockey season is getting close because last night I had a dream that the Leafs were up 2-1 in a series against the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they were up 2-1 in the game and looked really good. And I was like, shit, they're going to win the first round. Like, this is terrible. So I'm already worried and I'm already scared for the season. And my biggest fear for the Islanders is that they turn into the Sharks, you know, like that team that does have these veterans who like a handful that they're not going to be bad enough to be terrible and whatever. Yeah. So that is my take on the Sharks.
Yeah. Well, that's eerily similar to what will be my take on the Flyers when we get to the Metro Division at the end. But yeah, the Kraken did sign Andre Burakovsky, who's a pretty notable signing, but next try next year, guys. Forget about that. Then you've got this sort of weird middle three teams, the Kings, Golden Knights, and Canucks. And the Canucks, I'm kind of being generous a little bit. You talk about teams that are overrated and underrated. Every year, the Canucks are overrated by mostly Canadian media outlets. They're not bad. They finished 40, 30, and 12 last year. Like, they weren't terrible, but I just don't think they have enough to make the playoffs. Vegas, their problem is they need goaltending, and Robin Leonard's hurt. So it's Laurent Boisois and Logan Thompson right now. And the Kings got by on really good goal. I mean, they made the playoffs last year, and I think, you know, it's kind of a cliche, but if their goaltending holds up with still Cal Peterson and the sort of decaying husk of Jonathan Quick, and they held up, then they can make the playoffs too. That third spot is kind of wide open, and we'll talk about the top two teams in a second. But, you know, one of these three teams is going to take that spot. I don't think it'll be Vancouver. Could be Vegas. You know, Jack Eichel is healthy now, but everybody in this division needs goaltending. The Canucks are the one team that has goaltending, but they don't really have much in the way of defense. So I don't know how that's going to shake out. But I was surprised that the Kings made the playoffs last year. I did not think they were that good, and they managed to hang around.
They were the surprise package. Still hate Drew Doughty for what he said about the Islanders at one time when he's like, I don't think I've ever watched a game or know anybody who ever played for the Islanders. But I think Vegas is the thing you hear about Vegas from everybody is they're, and you hear this about every team, they're going to be a fascinating team this year, aren't they? And sure, like every team, every season has twists and turns. They've turned it to like a heel, like,
oh, definitely.
You would know better than me in wrestling, but like, is there a term for like when a heel starts to become popular again?
Yeah, he starts turning face. That's
turning
the whole thing.
Face, yeah. Like I feel like this year everyone's going to be sick because last year everyone piled on the Knights and like was. They were a heel and it was fun to like kick them while they're down. But I think if they're good, they're going to turn face and it's like almost like Guy Fieri. Like people are going to be like, I love this team. Like, isn't that great? Like, we love how Vegas does. They just go for it, Elliot. Like, that's great. Like, that's my prediction for Vegas. And I think if like Jack Eichel is much better than people realize, I would say too.
Yeah.
Like, I think he could have a pretty big season.
Well, it was easy to forget because he was hurt. So, exactly. I mean, I get that. By the way, one thing about the Kings is I fully expect the 32 Thoughts podcast to devote more time to Sean Durzi. Signing, re-signing with the Kings than Matt Barzal re-signing with the Islanders. But that's
actually, one thing about the Canucks, too, is that let's not even go there.
All right, we'll save it for another time.
It's
all right. At the top of the division, you've got two good teams, and as much as it really pains me to say this, because I love when that media market eats itself alive, I think the Oilers are going to be pretty good this year. They finally have a pretty good goalie in Jack Campbell. They've lost the old man Mike Smith. They lost even older man Duncan Keith, or almost as old man Duncan Keith. And I think they're going to be pretty good this year. Now, the Oilers can still Oiler it up, as we know. And the Flames, you know, give Brad Treliving a lot of credit. I think we did this once before, but man, they lost Goudreau. They ended up trading Tkachuk, and then they replaced him with Jonathan Huberdeau and Nazem Kadri and Mackenzie Weaker. So, I mean, that dude put in a lot of work this summer, and that team is still pretty darn good. So somebody really, really good is going to come out of this division. It's going to be one of those two teams unless something really, really gets bad. But I mean, the Oilers look like, I mean, I can't believe I'm even saying this, but this looks like this is their best chance to win the cup since like 1990, you know, or whatever it was that they won their last Dynasty Cup.
Yeah, I think they'll both be good. I think the Flames might be the best team in the league, which is astounding. And
I've picked the Flames to win the Stanley Cup every year since 2006. So,
just keep doing it. They're coached, like, they got the coach, they got the goalie, they got the beautiful uniforms, the great rink with the shiny ice, both these teams. If things had gone sideways for the Islanders with the offseason with Barzal and, Dobson, let's just say, or whatever, the Flames don't give you hope in a way that you don't just have to follow the kind of laid out path in front of you. Like, okay, if you lose players like that, like the Islanders when they lost Tavares, which, you know, as we mentioned, when Gaudreau left, was never really brought up. Like, right. Can't believe the Flames are going through this. No team has ever had to watch a guy walk away like this. But they do give you hope. I mean, the Islanders did too. And we said this even before they traded for Huberdeau and Weegar and signed Kadri, that I think you might have even like directly addressed Flames fans that listen to this podcast, all of them, that like it's gonna be okay, and it was like that was very prescient, and but they give you hope, like in sports that when things are, you know, sports aren't, this is season preview season, and the season previews are worthless after 10 days of the season. So like when people are writing your team off because Tkachuk and Gaudreau, and they're like, now they have to tear it down. No, you don't. Like, there's other ways around it. So I applaud Calgary for giving, you know, 6 years from now or 2 years from now or whatever, if the Islanders are having a rough go of it, just be like, yeah, you know, maybe they can fight their way out of this like Calgary did.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, and you know, there'll be some like acclimation time for those guys, but yeah, I agree with you. I think they're really, I almost think that not enough people are talking about how good they are because they're looking at the offseason moves and being like, well, that was pretty crazy, but I mean, they're really good. So I mean, yeah.
I feel like there's a, maybe I'm making this up and it's just me, but I feel like there's an Islanders Flames alliance because we don't get in each other's way.
They're expansion cousins, of course. Yes, exactly. They'll always be tied together. Yeah. So there you go. But we'll see. All right. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the Pacific. You got really, really kind of set up, you know, tiers in that division. Moving on to the Central, I don't know. It's kind of a little bit more of a mishmash. The bottom two, I think, are still going to be Chicago and Arizona as they were last year. By the way, Nick Kiprios apparently saying today that some of the Arizona players are very upset at their conditions that they have to play in this year at Arizona State University. And it's actually worse than they were led to believe, which that never happens in the NHL. Who could have possibly seen that happening? So that's the one thing. I mean, Arizona's not going to be good on the ice, but man, I cannot wait to watch every single game they play this year at that arena because it is going to be the best. It really is. And I cannot tell you how much joy I get from saying this sentence: your arena problems are not my problem. They're your problem, not mine. So good luck with all that is all I'm going to say. And then Chicago actually is sort of like what you're talking about with the Sharks. Like, they just don't want to kind of acknowledge they got to be bad. And like, they're hanging on. Like, they got Seth Jones. I mean, it's funny. Isn't Seth Jones making what Matt Barzal is making?
Yeah. That, of course, wasn't brought up that right. Jones and Zach Werenski and Jeff Skinner.
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
right.
Of course.
So, you know, I think we'll see Taves and Kane probably traded at some point. Luke Richardson's a nice guy. He's the coach there now, but man, it's going to be a long season in Chicago. And I feel bad because I have a lot of Chicago Blackhawk fan friends, and this is not going to be good for either of those two teams. I mean, is there any kind of positive coming out of either of these two, or is it just, these are just two lost seasons right now?
Yeah. I think the Blackhawks definitely are. Sometimes when teams, like, especially when you're betting, like, teams that are bad become very interesting. The Blackhawks won't be, but I think the Coyotes will. I'm really excited to see the rink and how this whole saga plays out. It's like we've talked about it here. The Islanders went through so much arena drama that I just feel terrible for fans who are watching, like, people just try to take their team away.
Mm-hmm.
Because whether there's 800 Coyotes fans or 8 million Coyotes fans, like, the Coyotes are a very important part of their life, just like the Islanders are a very important part of our life. So I hate seeing it. It really kind of just makes me sad. And I honestly hope that it's like a cool environment. And like, the, we already seen, I think, a couple Canadian media people like talk about how it's not going well, I guess, for training camp.
I'm sure Bruce Arthur is going to be all over this.
He might be on assignment down there. They might have him living in Scottsdale or wherever the hell for a couple months to write a six piece column about moving the team to Hamilton or wherever. And from a betting perspective, I think, and I wrote this in my preview, I think the Coyotes are going to be a good bet at home because can you imagine being the Dallas Stars or St. Louis Blues, Colorado Avalanche, going to Arizona to play a game, and then you're like, we got to play here. We just played in Nashville last night or wherever, and now I got to play at a college rink in front of like 3,000 people who I can hear. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here at all. Like, we're going to beat this team because we're better than them. So you're going to get good prices to bet them at home. They'll be the favorite, maybe like three times the entire their home schedule, like against the Blackhawks and Flyers or Sharks or whatever. But so that's, I'm always intrigued by the Coyotes. I think it's because of what I was saying, like, we've been in those foxholes before, man. Like, we know what it's like. We know what you're going through. I think what you said is true. Like, that I'm just, you're much happier on this side of the arena issues,
right,
where you know it doesn't affect your day-to-day life, but for those who it does, like, I do feel for them, and I kind of hope that they are fun, at least. And the goalie is hilarious, Carol Vemelka, who just is terrible, yeah, and then all of a sudden posts a 62 save shutout, goes like Dwayne Roloson against the Leafs on everybody, and so
but I was joking before about, you know, he signed where? Nick Bjugstad is an Arizona Coyote right now, and I had no idea until two days ago.
When I saw that, like, how many times has he been a Coyote? I feel like he's been a Coyote in a Minnesota Wild like 8 different times already.
This guy was a superstar for the Flyers, for the Panthers. He got traded to the Penguins. Oh my God, what a deal they got. They dumped him off the Minnesota Wild. Oh, he's from Minnesota. What a deal they got. Now he's playing for Arizona. So there you go. That's the life of Nick Bjugstad. Next up is, before we get to the kind of guys at the top, this is the team I think you and I might have the biggest difference on, because you're actually pretty high in the Winnipeg Jets this year. And I heard you on the NHL fantasy draft thing that you did, and you were pretty high in the Jets, but I don't know, man. I look at this team and all I see is an abject disaster. If they finished dead last in this division, I would not be shocked one bit. And, you know, they got a good first line. Kyle Connor had like 50 goals or whatever, 45 goals last year. Scheifele's still good. You know, Wheeler's still there, although he's not the captain anymore. So there might be weirdness there. Hellebuck is obviously still good. Their D is okay, but not great. But to me, and I hate saying this because he seems like just the nicest guy in the world, he's got fans and friends all over the league. He's been in the hockey forever. Rick Bonus just seems like a prince of a guy, a complete mensch. But he has shown time and again he is not a head coach in the NHL. I know they went to the Stars, went to the finals a couple years ago, but like that was just because Anton Khudobin stood on his head, and the guys like Denis Gurianov were scoring playoff goals. Like, what? How does that? How often does that happen? This guy, he's again a lovely man. He's just not a head coach, and I can't see how this ends up being good for Winnipeg. Maybe I'm wrong. I'd be happy to be wrong. I have no ill will towards the Jets, but I'm looking at this roster and I'm looking at this coach and I'm like, this is not going to be good. But you're different. So there you go. You know,
yeah,
you think they're going to be pretty good.
So this is a great thing about Bonus is like, he's the wrong coach for like 30 teams in the NHL, but the Jets might be the right one, because like, I could say the Jets and like, maybe if he took over, I don't know, Nashville or something, like he would need to like walk into a place that it's a veteran team that kind of knows how to play already and can just be the kind of guy who takes the temperature of the room and like knows when to like, you know, just talk to people like human beings and when to coach them or whatever. Like he was the Jets coach in 1988.
Yeah.
That's before I was born. That's awesome. I'm rooting for Rick. I'm rooting for the Jets. I like Nikolaj Ehlers as a three, like he's not going to win MVP, but if you're looking for like a really, really big long shot, Nikolaj Ehlers is my pick, because I think he can do what like Gaudreau or Huberdeau did and like get 115 points, because he's going to be playing with Kyle Connor and Scheifele, the world's biggest Josh Bailey fan. I wonder if Scheifele's going to be at Josh Bailey 1000 night. We should invite him. We should just be like, you know, I know they're playing the Rangers, but we can coordinate with the Jets, kind of like how sometimes when players win a Stanley Cup and then they go to another team, they get to like, hey, I'm going to fly to Tampa for a ring night, but I'll catch up with you guys in Minnesota.
People in the stands being like, why is Mark Scheifele here? Is he hurt? What's he doing here? Is he his cousin? Yeah.
But yeah, I think the Jets are, because like in betting, especially preseason, before the season, one of the most important things to do is just to, when everyone's saying like this team, like you said, like you can see them being an abject disaster, you need to look at it like, okay, if that's what everyone's saying, there's going to be value on going the other way. Just now, how likely is it? And with a goalie like Hellebuck, you have yourself a get out of jail free card. So that's why I liked him. I mean, it's like their long shot. They're 60-1, and I think Winnipeg is. And I like, we'll talk about them next time or soon. Like St. Louis, I think too. Like those are the two I like in this division, because I think for some reason everyone loves the Wild and everyone is like kind of into the Predators again for some reason. So those are my two teams to kind of upstart or upset the odds in the Central.
Yeah, so let's look at Minnesota, Dallas, Nashville as a group. Everybody was kind of high on them. You know, I feel like, you know, we've talked a lot about how the Islanders got, you know, everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong last season. I feel like those teams, it's the exact opposite. Everything that could have gone right went right, particularly with Minnesota. You know, Kirill Kaprizov had a career year. They got Marc-Andre Fleury, who's re-signed there. So he had a, you know, another, he was the Vezina Trophy winner the year before, and he ended up being pretty good. And they all made the playoffs. Nashville too. They got good years finally out of Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson. And then of course, Justy Saros was spectacular. I don't know how he didn't walk away with at least some hardware at the end of the year, but then he got hurt in the playoffs and they were swept by the Avalanche. So, I mean, these three teams, they all seem to me like it could kind of go either way. I wouldn't be surprised if either of them, if any of them had a great season, and I wouldn't be surprised if any of them missed the playoffs because, you know, two or three guys didn't perform the way they did last year. So, but I'm with you. The Blues are very, very good. And obviously the Avalanche are at the top of the division. So, you know, those were your five playoff teams last year. And, could they be the same? Sure. Could they swap spots? Sure. I mean, you look at the other division. I'm not sure who's going to take their extra spot, but yeah, I'm with you. I'm not really that impressed with either Minnesota, Nashville, or Dallas particularly, but they're not bad teams. They're good. They're just, and I can't see them overtaking the Avs, in particular the Avs or the Blues, who I think are, again, a team that people are kind of sleeping on a little bit as being very, very good.
Yeah, I think it comes down to underlying metrics a lot with the Blues. Like, they didn't have the best play driving numbers, but if you look at their forward group, you're like, they don't need to. Like, they're going to score on the chances they create because they can roll three scoring lines and they're all really good.
I still feel they're a bit like a bully team almost. Like, you feel like they're like an intimidating team. I don't know if it's the uniforms but it's like
they kick the snot out of the Wild every time they play too. It's just hilarious. But like the Wild are just, they become like this kind of trendy analytics team.
Yeah.
And like, we're so past that. I feel like as a hockey
watch,
like, it was the Hurricanes. But it was old when the Hurricanes were this, you know, everyone, if you like these numbers, like, you got to root for the Hurricanes. Like, no, you don't. Who cares what their front office does? Like, who works for their front office? Like, I care about the Islanders because they play 15 minutes from my house and I grew up here. Like, but then became the Wild. And, but yeah, I just don't like, you look at the roster, you're like, I can see this going to shit because there's not that much depth because they are still paying Zach Parise and Ryan Suter. And like, we talk about Marc-Andre Fleury is great. Like, everyone loves him. He's 37 years old, but his reputation is far outweighs like his on ice impact at this point. He won the Vezina 2 years ago. The year before that, he was bad on Vegas. The year after that was last year, and he was bad with Chicago and whatever. You want to draw a line through that, fine. But I don't know. I think that they're a darling, and usually darlings are overpriced. And the Predators, like you were talking about, like, these are teams, everything went right for them. Like, Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson are great. Roman Josi scores the most points from a defenseman since Brian Leetch in 1992. and they barely got into the playoffs. They got into the playoffs in the last spot. If you have all that stuff go right for you, like, you kind of squandered that year. And I think a slow start from Nashville, and Barry Trotz just bought a house down there. So John Hines, I know he signed an extension or whatever, but I just kind of like with Andrew Brunette and Lindy Ruff in New Jersey, I just feel like John Hines has to be kind of looking over his shoulder a little bit.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Oh yeah. We'll talk about Trotz another time, but definitely. Yeah. Hines, you know, if you polled people who the Predators coach was, I don't know if you'd get John Hines is the answer, but he's still there. Okay, so moving on to the Atlantic. Oh, and obviously, we don't need to talk about the Avalanche. They won the Cup last year. They're going to be good. Yeah, they lost Nazem Kadri, but they're still going to be pretty good. So, and they've got Alexander Georgiev now. So, I mean, we'll go see if he can sink or swim. We've been hearing about him to death, too, with the Rangers. So, we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
The Atlantic, we're going to start at the top for a change, and I'm just going to come out and say what I think everybody's thinking, which is that please don't let the Leafs win this division. Just anybody but them. It was Florida last year. Tampa's still good, obviously. Boston is the third team I think people are sleeping on. I mean, they got a lot of guys who are hurt. Marchand's out for a long time. Bergeron is old, but he's back. Zdeno Chara has retired. Obviously, he's not coming back. Tuukka Rask is gone now. But, I mean, this is not a team that you know, the floor has fallen out from under. This is still a pretty darn good team. I could see them winning this division. I mean, they were 51-26-5 last year in what would be a down year. I mean, they were really, really good. It can't be the Leafs. It's got to be anybody but the Leafs, please. I can't even deal with, you know, winning the division. I mean, obviously we don't want to see them win around in the playoffs, but like, winning a division would just be equally as bad. I don't want to see it.
Yeah, let's just talk about them because this past since we last spoke on Leafs Corner on Islanders Anxiety, Rasmus Sandin.
Yes.
The game of chicken, Kyle Dubas won it, of course, as he always does. Gets Rasmus Sandin signed on the dotted line. Matt Murray is winning the preseason Vezina Trophy. Yesterday his name was trending on my timeline, which says a lot more about me than Matt Murray, but I clicked on it and it was indistinguishable who was part of the media and who were just like Leafs fan boy accounts. Because they were all talking about how great he looks and how happy he's, how much fun he's having playing for the Leafs. So there's that. Yeah. And you're going to see, I think tomorrow, kind of parallel to this podcast, of course, the real NHL championship gets decided. The Stanley Cup gets awarded because it's the last day of team previews at our old favorite stomping grounds, the Athletic. And guess what? Guess who's going to be number one? The Leafs.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Can you believe it? True underdog story. Yeah. Season over. Season over. We'll see you guys all again next October. Whatever happens from this point on doesn't count because it didn't show up in the charts. But yeah, I mean, like they are painting a 115 point team from last year. The second favorite to win the Stanley Cup this year. They were the same last year. They were one of the favorites the year before. They are painting this team as an underdog story. Like that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah. Well, this is, and we just passed the anniversary, I believe, of this too, of the Canada Cup. And this drives me crazy every year in that people make this 72 Canada Cup thing to be this great underdog triumph. When this real story is that Canada thought they were going to kick Russia's ass. Russia kicked their ass. And then they came back and won. That's not a story at all. That's a terrible story. Who wants that story? That's like Rocky being, you know, overconfident, getting his ass kicked by Apollo and then coming back and winning anyway. Like that's not the story. The story is this guy's nothing. And then he lasts to the end and he can show that he's not a bum. Like what the hell story is this? Who cares? But it's the same principle.
And like you said, like, please don't let them win the division. Obviously don't let them win a round, all that stuff. And please like, let them get off to a slow start. Let them feel some pressure for the first time. People keep forgetting to mention when they talk about they played so hard against the Lightning. Like you can't really fault them.
They
for
got
that.
So much respect in the handshake line. Don't forget that.
Like yeah, the respect in the handshake line and the fact that they slayed their demons, apparently their first round demons, by losing in seven once again to a team that went to the Stanley Cup final for the second year in a row. They lost to the team that went to the second year team that went to the Stanley Cup final. The year before that was the Montreal Canadiens, who finished in dead last in the NHL last year. And they were in a division that was set up for them to win. Like nobody mentions that. Like you want to talk. Yes, maybe last year they came out on the wrong side of a coin flip, but they've also lost to the Blue Jackets and the Canadiens who finished in last place last year in the previous playoff rounds. They were up 3-1. In that series too, by the way. They were up 3-2 last year. So the fact that they're painting this like team as an upstart underdog is incredible. Every player, I think, at this point, including ones that aren't even on the official roster yet, like that are PTOs, have gotten their time in the Athletic sun with this guy's a perfect fit.
Zach Aston-Reese. He's a perfect fit.
Swiss Army knife. This guy knows the nuclear codes. This guy can drink his coffee as soon as it's ready. It doesn't burn his tongue. Like, shut the hell up, please. For all, like, I don't understand how these guys don't look at the page at the Athletic. And once again, who's the loser here? It's me, because I subscribe to the Athletic and have the Leafs picked as one of my teams.
Me too.
So I can see it. Like,
we're stuck. They just hired another Toronto guy too, who used to work in the front office, and his whole thing was like, I want to highlight teams and players that don't get as much love in the league. Oh, okay. What team is that? Oh, it's the Leafs. Oh, okay. What guy is that? Oh, what number is he? Oh, okay. Great. Thanks. I can't wait. Just what we need. I'm looking really looking forward to it.
Yes, but I think they're going to be good. In all likelihood, they'll be good. I think that there is the kind of shining hope here is that the goaltending could completely blow up in everyone's face, and we just got to hope it does. And like you said, people are sleeping on the Bruins. I think the way I'm playing the Bruins, like I already think that they're fine to bet right now. But with those guys out, like maybe they struggle a little in the beginning and then you can get a really good number on Boston. They'll get their shit together. Like I think Jim Montgomery is a good coach. So they have great goalies. or a good tandem. I think Jeremy Swayman's going to be really good. The defense is good. They've just always put up the best defensive numbers in the league. So them and the Lightning are kind of being slept on, like, which is great because they just went to the Stanley Cup again, and like nobody's really talking about them. I guess maybe it's a little boring, but So the Panthers, I expect to not be as good as last year, which is not saying much just because they won the President's Trophy, but they I think things could go sideways for them. I like Spencer Knight as a best in a long shot because if they're good, it probably means that he was good. They signed him to that deal, so maybe he's getting more starts this season. But I think like the Leafs and the Panthers, you can kind of see things going sideways. The Bruins and Lightning, I think, are just like rock solid and will be there. And hopefully just whoever's the best at the end is the one that beats the Leafs. And hopefully in like five this season. I don't want to go to another game seven where I have to. Last game seven, I drove far away to pick up dinner. Instead of watching the game because I couldn't watch, I was so nervous. Which once again, that speaks a lot more volumes about me than anything else. But like I was so nervous about a Leafs game that I drove and didn't listen to it and put my phone in the trunk so I'd want to be tempted to even look at it at a red light or anything.
Oh no, so, I know what you mean. I put the phone away. I don't check Twitter or anything like that kind of stuff. But the best case scenario, any of those three teams beating the Leafs would be great. But the best case scenario, and to steal a phrase from our friend Jeff Merrick, the most intriguing team in this division, perhaps, is the Ottawa Senators, who right behind the Flames made a ton of changes. Give Pierre Dorion credit. Like, he did a lot of good work this summer, too. Cam Talbot is out for a while, so their goaltending is a bit of a mess right now, too. But, I mean, if Anton Forsberg or whoever is the other guy can steady things, this team has a lot of young talent up front, and you know, they got guys coming up on the blue line too, and they can make things very interesting. They were 33-42-7, which is not a good record. They finished just ahead of Montreal in the division, but like they have a chance to be very good this year and really kind of find their way around. And if not make the playoffs, which is again a long shot, at least make life difficult for some of the other teams in this division. And you know, because again, I have a feeling these guys, much like Matt Barzal, you know that like Brady Tkachuk reads this stuff. Like, you know that these guys know what people are saying. And so when they're going to go play the Leafs, they know that they got to come and bring it. And it's much like with the Islanders. Like, how many times have we said, how come the Islanders don't play everybody like they play the Rangers? Well, this is the Senators are going to get their time to get this too. And they might end up being terrible, but they have added a lot of intriguing pieces. They got Alex DeBrincat now. So, I mean, you know, they got Claude Giroux now. So, I mean, that would be the best case scenario for the Leafs to lose to the Senators.
It would just be beautiful. If, you know, I would just like if they nip that playoff spot from them, it would just be so much easier than anything. And, I mean, the fun thing about the Sens now being better is that they were like a thorn in the side for the Leafs, and like Brady Tkachuk, like he's going to really revel in this opportunity. So
definitely.
God, it would just be, I would, God, I would just, if the Sens take like the Leafs playoff spot, I don't know what I would do. I would drive to Kanata or wherever the Canadian Tire Center is. And, you know, like, I mean, John Cusack in that movie, hold up like a boombox for 24 hours straight, just saying thank you.
Great.
But yeah, I think the Senators are that. This is my most likely scenario for them, is that they just get off to a terrible start, and like all the hype and everyone, just no one talks about them for like ever. And then next off season, like we just do it all again. But because that seems to happen, you know, like we'll just see, like you can't go 5 minutes listening to a 32 Thoughts or a podcast like that without them talking about the Senators. But you know, think they start the season kind of like the Canadians or the Senators did last year, nobody's going to pipe up about them. So
They could have a very Islanders like season where they're terrible through November, and then all of a sudden from like New Year's Day to the end of the season, they're like one of the better teams. They got like the third best record in the league, you know.
And they pull you back in.
And then you've got Buffalo, Detroit, and Montreal. These teams they're all terrible in various shades. Buffalo and Detroit have a long way to go. Montreal's all rookies right now. They might be a fun team to watch, but I wouldn't you know, they're not going to be very good. And none of them are going to be very good, but maybe Detroit's putting something together. We'll see. But and the vibes are good in Buffalo. Again, I don't think the team is very good right now, but the vibes are very good. So you kind of like to see that. Okay, let's move on to the last one, our favorite, the Metropolitan. This is, again, a very, very difficult division. It's very difficult to call. You know, as Islanders fans, obviously we have an optimistic viewpoint of our team. We want to see them make the playoffs. Their biggest issue is scoring goals. And breaking news, they have two whole goals in the preseason game that's going on right now. So mark your calendars down this day, October 4th. The Islanders scored two whole goals in a preseason game. That's a big deal. That's the combined total of the goals they scored in their previous two games or whatever it was. So they got to find the goals. If they find goals, I think they'll be pretty good. Washington, we talked about, like, they're an underrated team. I think they're, again, much like the Bruins, like, they're still good. I don't know why people don't pick them, because they're all picking the Penguins. Everybody loves the Penguins. This is the team that hasn't gone out of the first round in 10 years. They love the Penguins for whatever reason. And so they get a lot of ink. And the Rangers and Hurricanes, we hate them both equally. They score a lot of goals. They don't give up a lot, hoping that they just fall apart. And then you've got the Blue Jackets, Devils, and Flyers. The Blue Jackets and Devils are improved, but I mean, how much? Like, how much is Johnny Gaudreau going to put the Blue Jackets in the playoffs? I don't know. It's hard to say. Is Andre Palat going to put the Devils in the playoffs? I don't know. It's hard to say. Vitek Vanacek, is he going to? The Caps love their goaltending so much that they let both dudes walk away for basically nothing. So I don't know how much faith should we put in Vitek Vanacek with the Devils. And man, the Flyers. Godspeed out there. I don't know what to tell you about the Flyers. That could be another huge disaster. So, I mean, all told, I mean, how do betting sites and bookmakers even look at this division? Because this could literally end up anyway. I mean, if the Blue Jackets won the division, would it really be a surprise? Like, oh yeah, well, it's the Johnny Gaudreau effect. Well, I guess. I don't know, but like, it's a long shot. But I mean, this is a really hard division to pick. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think. Just from a betting standpoint, I think the Penguins are very overrated. 101.5 points. That's kind of pricing them. Like, they'll get to 102 points if everything goes right for them, if everyone stays healthy and Tristan Jarry is good. And then you look at, like, the Hurricanes, kind of similarly, like, they're the betting favorite in the division, but they got great goaltending from Freddie Anderson, who we all know kind of sometimes just doesn't play if he's not feeling well, and same with his backup, and like, they got great seasons from a ton of players too, and Max Pacioretty's hurt, so like, the biggest problem for them was they didn't have that score, and they won't have him still because he's got no ACL. And then
forgot about
the Rangers. I think are splitting people kind of in a similar way the Islanders did a couple years ago. Is this team really good, or is it just propped up by goaltending? Let's hope it is just propped up by goaltending. So, like, there's the bookmakers are kind of just like hedging their bets among them, and that's why I think the Capitals are actually a really great bet, because, like, something when I was researching for my article that I came across, which blew my mind, that the Capitals have finished first or second in their division in 14 of the last 16 years. And last year they finished fourth. So going into last year, it was 14 out of 15. That's absurd.
That's, like, crazy.
They're just always great in the regular season, and I think that Darcy Kemper is better than people expect, I guess. And so this is the low part of the market for the Capitals, which is why I think they're a good buy at 40-1 or whatever. But the good news about this division is that for Islanders is they, like, there is a path here. Like, nobody really separated themselves from where, like, the Islanders are. If you didn't know, the Islanders are returning this season with almost the same exact roster that they had last year, except for Alexander Romanov. But the rest of the teams, like, nobody, I think the Capitals arguably got best of the teams that they'll be chasing, and the Rangers went lateral. The Penguins, who knows what, how many games they're going to get out of their guys. The Hurricanes, I think, are still great, but went lateral. So at least, like, the gap between the Islanders and the teams they're chasing isn't insurmountable. Of course, they got to fend off the Devils, who kind of are like the Senators light, where everyone's like, this is probably the year, but we hear it every year. And like, come on, the goaltending. Yeah. That's what like these modelers and people who put these chart merchants, like, you can tell who thinks goaltending is actually part of hockey and who doesn't. Like, oh my God, just some random guy. Like, you wouldn't believe this. Some guy just showed up and he's wearing a mask and pillows on his leg and he's standing in front of the goal. Oh God, there's another one on the other end of the ice. Like, when, that's how it goes, man. Like, it's hard to project, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So, but you can feel pretty safe in your projection that the Devils are less likely to get good goaltending than they are to get bad goaltending. Like, it's going to probably be bad. And same with the Blue Jackets. I mean, it just does one good season from Tristan Jarry make everyone forget that he wasn't good the season before that?
But I mean, even if they are a 105-point team, they're still going to lose in the first round.
Yeah.
Every single time. Every time.
It's another thing nobody brings up. Like, I don't get why the Penguins can't get through the first round with this team. Like, of course you can. The NHL season is a marathon. Like, and these guys are, they're counting on everybody who they're counting on, except for Jake Guentzel, is past their prime. They're tired. Like, that's just how it goes sometimes. But, I think the Metro is wide open. I think the Blue Jackets are sneaky to be really bad, and the Flyers are going to be terrible. And like this is what's going to happen in my super specific prediction for the Metro, or for the teams in the Metro. Flyers finish with the worst record in the NHL. But they lose the draft lottery, and Arizona gets the number one pick, and they move Arizona.
You know what? I can totally see that happening, and that would be the most Flyers thing ever. Would be to lose, because I mean, the last time they lost the draft, you know, the draft lottery, they got Nolan Patrick, who is like apparently on the verge of retirement something. So, you know, that would be a very regular thing. Yeah, it's funny how I have less to say about this division than the other three, because I just don't know. And I hate these other teams so much, and I just want my team to be good, and I want them to score enough goals. And that's the thing. And
people keep talking about the Islanders didn't do much in the offseason. Like, the Islanders just running it back. Like, every team in this division, except for Carolina and like the non-playoff teams are, like, the Rangers, they swapped Strome for Trocheck. That's really it.
Right.
The Penguins, what did the Penguins do? They swapped Jeff Petrie for John Marino.
Yeah.
Like, got Ty Smith.
They re-signed their guys, yeah.
Basically. And they re-signed their guys. Like,
yeah.
The Capitals, they added a couple top six. Like, this division, every team has had the same core for a long time, and they've just been fighting it out forever. Like, it's not just the Islanders.
Yeah. I mean, the Devils, I mean, obviously the Blue Jackets got Goudreau, and the Devils changed a bunch of guys.
The non-playoff teams did stuff.
Right.
Because they have to. Like.
Yeah. But again, and the thing that we've been hammering on for, you know, at least two episodes now, if not more, is that, you know, the Islanders maybe didn't make changes on the ice, but they don't have a 13-game road trip. Let's assume that they don't have COVID three times. And let's assume that the league the schedule isn't paused four or five times throughout the course of the season, and things don't go kind of screwy like that. So, I mean, all that, how much is that stuff worth? So we'll see. But I'm so sick of the Penguins, Hurricanes, and Rangers, to a lesser extent, the Capitals, and I just don't think the Blue Jackets, Devils, and Flyers are that good. And we talk about the Islanders all day, every day. So, you know, it's like I'm just kind of over talking about these teams, and I'm hoping that, like we said with the Rangers too, like, and we said the same thing with the Leafs, like, they had just a historic, incredible season last year, and you're counting on those guys to do that again, and then see what happens, you know, so... We'll have to see, but I think the cat is getting out of the bag a little bit with the Rangers, and people are kind of starting to realize maybe they're propped up by goaltending, which is the thing that they complained about the Islanders being for so many years. And now look at how the tables have turned. So there you go. All right, we have been at this for a long time. This has been a very long episode. Started out with a lot of energy, and I think we're winding down. So there you go. Maybe we helped you. Maybe we didn't tell you anything you didn't know. But I can promise you that you probably did not know that Nick Bjugstad was an Arizona Coyote before you listened to this episode, but now you do. So at least that one thing we can hang on to. We'll be back in a couple of more days with another episode of Islanders Anxiety, when we talk about what the Islanders have done at the end of training camp, who's cut, who's here, what happened. That'll be next Monday, but we're going to talk Sunday. The episode will go out Monday, and then season is right around the corner. And then right after that episode will be another episode of Anxiety, and then the first episode of Weird Islanders, which will come out on October 21st. So don't forget that. In the meantime, read Lighthouse Hockey every single day for your most up-to-date Islanders news and discussion. Michael Leboff, where can everybody find you on Twitter?
The Big Lee Basket with two E's.
Follow Mike at The Big Lee Basket. Read his work at Action Network. I'll put the link into his season preview in the article. Check it out. It's really cool. Maybe you can win some money. It'd be nice. We'll be back. Thanks for listening. And we will talk to you again real soon. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.